The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, over the rainbow, gotta let it go.
So far, the rain is a gun.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for March 23rd, 2021. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling feed or on our own dedicated podcast feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. If you would like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the box that says sponsor this podcast and you can do a one-time or recurring donation. No obligation whatsoever. But we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Adam Experience, joined as always by KS Lowe. In case we are going to get right to it, no banter. It is Memorial Gate weekend. We're going to talk briefly about the Kobe Samba Hall show. But boy, I'm getting kind of hyped about this Memorial Gate show. How about you?
Yeah, we're going to speed through some of this, not because we're super pumped about the card of Wakayama, but perhaps I have some personal issues at hand that are time sensitive that maybe we need to speed through part of this episode. At least, fingers crossed, we don't need to, but we're going to get rolling. Yeah, the Memorial Gate card, we messaged as soon as it came out. I was like, damn, I really, really like this show, and it's on, what is it, Saturday morning? Yes,
right,
Saturday morning here in the States. I will probably watch this show live because I like everything on this card.
Yeah. It's something that we immediately mess each other, and we both forgot about the Wakayama Tornado match that obviously was going to happen here. So that's why there's no Triangle Gate match, but we will talk about the card and give our previews in a little bit. But there was the go-home show for Wakayama and Kobe Samba Hall this weekend. They returned after having having to be in Tokyo Arena last month, and they're back in the friendly confines. Attendance 306. In case, let's just kind of get right through this. Neither of us really have any takes, I would say, on the first three matches, so I'm just going to speed run through those results and talk about what happened afterwards, and then we can talk about the meat of this lineup.
That works for me, Mike.
All right, so the show opened with Hyun doing the opening mic thing, and that pretty much led straight into Keisuke Okuda versus Punch Tominaga, the eternal rivalry. This time, Okuda said, "If you beat me, you win the match. However, I'm going to need three falls." In 6 minutes and 12 seconds, Punch Tominaga pinned Keisuke Okuda and has laid out a Brave Gate challenge for next month's Kobe Samba Hall show. That led us directly into match two. This was a Boku Dojo versus RED tag match. It was Bokudemo Dragon and Ryo Saito versus Kai and Diamante. Bokudemo Dragon beat Diamante with the shot put slam. Case, it's back. It looks like the last like 6 months or 9 months or however is just a ruse. We might be getting big back.
Well, real quick, what did I tell everybody? What have I told everyone?
Take your lap.
Since
Take
the Team
lap.
Boku thing started, he's one shot put slam away from returning to old form. And all of a sudden, we have to take this guy seriously again. It's just like that. It's one move. It's a protected finish. It's been protected since he debuted it 6 or 7 years ago. all it took was one shot put slam. And I'm not saying he's back to 2016 levels where, like I've said many times, I thought he was legitimately one of the 10 best wrestlers in the world at his peak. We're a ways off from that, and I don't really think we're ever going to get back to that territory. But one shot put slam, and all of a sudden there's a whole new layer of heat on this Bucaltimo Dragon versus Diamante match at the April Corkin Hall show. My lap is complete, Mike Spears.
And it's something that, like, I'm glad that this happened because, boy, the rest of this match was basically saying Team Boku are a bunch of scrubs and RED is just going to, like, put them out of their misery. And then now we have a little bit of spice going into that match, and I'm stoked to see, like, what will come out of this, because I feel like that it's pretty, we're both fairly certain that Bucaltimo is losing the mask.
I wish they would have teased this spot here and then done it at the Corkin, although I guess he's probably losing in April, so this was, maybe I take that back. Maybe this was the best time to do it. It's just, it really came out of nowhere. I mean, this is one of those things, if you just have the undercard on in the background and you're not really paying attention to this match, because the first three matches, although they kind of all had storyline implications, it was a newsworthy show, but the first three matches were just so dry and there was no substance there. So it's one of those deals, if you blink you miss it. But sure enough, my eyes were on the prize and I saw this shot put slam happen, and now I'm really intrigued about this April match, this Diamante versus Bucaltimo match, just because I don't know what tone it's gonna have. I don't know what it's gonna look like. It's kind of an odd pairing given their skill sets, but I'm looking forward to it. It's got some juice to it now.
Yeah, and that's what it really needs, is just enough juice to get a little bit of doubt that Diamante could be losing this match. And the fact that he pulled out the shot put slam and showing he's not going to just be doing the parody act there, I feel like it goes a long way in instilling that doubt there in what should be a no-doubt finish apuestas.
Yeah, so that's coming up in a week or two at this point, that April Corkin Hall show, which really, more so than any of the Corkins we've had this year, like, I'm already anticipating that show, and I didn't really feel that way in January, February, or March, but with Doi's return and now this match, which again, I had a morbid curiosity for going into this Kobe Sambo Hall show, but after seeing the finish here, I'm now, you know, dare I say, excited about that mask versus mask match. It's a good feeling to be a few weeks away from a Corkin Hall show and already looking forward to it.
It's more than a few. I didn't realize that this is a rare Friday Corkin Hall show. On the 9th.
So we've got
a couple of weeks. There's something that we might be going back to the buffet in a couple of weeks, because after Wakayama, they have about a 13-day break.
You know, that's okay. We can go back to the buffet because we've got that Michinoku Pro Battle Arts match to talk about that probably needs to be discussed on this show at some point.
Yeah, there's that. And then, of course, I know you wanted to mention it. The Dragon Gate Future episode went up this week, right?
Yeah, this is as much time as we'll spend on it now. It's something we can probably circle back to in a few weeks, but there is a new Dragon Gate Futures upload on the Dragon Gate Network. Mike and I talked about this at the beginning of this year. I think the first one was uploaded either in January or maybe very early February, but it is the four newest dojo students, and they're not even debut matches, but exhibition matches, three or four, I guess 5 minutes it would make sense, but these 5-minute little exhibition matches that are purely grappling. This one actually, it took a step up from amateur wrestling style grappling into, you could see some more professional wrestling elements being added into those matches. That is up on the network now. There's not a ton to analyze there. We'll save it for a slower week because it's a little evergreen right now. But yes, there is a new Dragon Gate Futures upload on the network.
Yeah. So the buffet is being stocked. Don't worry about it. We'll have some stuff to talk about. The third match that we were alluding to, that there wasn't much about it, and as long as I read this match result, that's, I think, as much time as it deserves. 6-man tag team match, Ultimo Dragon, Yuzushi Kanda, Gamma versus Masaki Mochizuki, Takashi Yoshida, and Don Fuji. Kanda got the win with Candy Magic in 12 minutes and 16 seconds, that you don't need to spend your life on those 12 minutes and 16 seconds.
No, I guess I have to bring this up now as we're heading into Memorial Gate, and they're teasing some tension between Yoshida and Mochizuki now, and this idea that Yoshida keeps on getting beat by flash pins, which is unacceptable when it happens to him, but he can beat guys with flash pins. Do I need to be afraid that he's turning already? Because we just spent time talking last week about how much we like babyface Takashi Yoshida, and I spent this match, even though the match was borderline not very good, thinking, man, I would really like a unit of Mochizuki, Fuji, Yoshida, you know, and whoever else.
Yeah, I mean, well, history gives us enough evidence for our eyebrow to be raised when anything happens with Takashi Yoshida from like a feud or a teaming standpoint. So my eyebrow is raised with how they're kind of playing this out. If it's another heel turn, then I'm basically, you know, I'll just quickly revert back to how I felt about him 6 months ago.
At this point, it's a healthy skepticism. I don't think we need to be concerned, but it is something that I felt like we needed to address ever so briefly.
Absolutely. And then we get into the meat of the lineup. It is the fifth Royal Sambo Battle Royal. The participants were Super Shisa, Kness, Konamawa Ichikawa, Kagatora, KZ, Problem Dragon, Yosuke San Maria, Jason Lee, the returning Ho-Ho Loon, Hio, Hip Hop Kakuta, and Daya Inferno. The winner of this match is Hio. Hio has stopped the Ichikawa. To be fair, it was three RED members who stopped the Ichikawa to start this match.
What do we think? This is sort of the end of an era. You know, when Shingo Takagi beat Shima at Kobe World 2013, it put an end to Shima's 18-month reign as Dreamgate champion and really signified a new era in the promotion. Stalker Ichikawa goes down here, Konamami Ichikawa rather, he goes down here by way of, he was triple teamed, like Mike said, all three RED guys ganged up on him and beat him, and I'm kind of devastated.
Yeah, I mean, heinous assault. I mean, I fully expect GM Yagi to send out some stiff fines and sanctions, maybe some restrictions towards RED. You know, I mean,
look, I'm not a cop caller, okay? I'm a shot caller. But if the police got involved in this situation, I don't think I would hate it, because what we saw were some hooligans beating on an innocent man.
Yeah, I mean, you had some local street toughs. You had Hio, you had Hip Hop Kakuta. You take a look at Hip Hop Kakuta, and you can't trust that boy. And then you had
Not with those hips at all.
And then you had Daya Inferno. I mean, come on. We don't even know where Daya Inferno comes from.
They don't even know what language. That scared the shit out of me. I saw them walking down the street. No fucking way. Daya Inferno gets on public transportation. I'm getting off.
I mean, all I'm saying is that I think that the Dragon Gate Championship Committee, led by GM Takayuki Yagi, should roll back the tape and look at the restriction of this match. And then one of the RED guys won the match. One of these hooligans, the guy who comes out with a freaking pencil and has subverted all common decency, Hio, has unseated Konamawa Ichikawa. I just can't stand for it, Case.
I think we talked about this on the air a few months ago. Maybe it was after the show, though, where I was telling you that I was reading Death of the Territories and how I really romanticized this idea of NWA promoters meeting in Las Vegas and bickering over NWA world title reigns. And I know this doesn't happen, but from now on in my mind in the Dragon Gate universe, when they go to Okinawa every year, there's like a top secret closed door meeting where they do all of their booking for the entire year, and Horiguchi fucking has it out with people as he's booking this stuff, and this Sambo Hall Battle Royal match has been planned for a year now. And in a way, it's great long-term storytelling. It's the lore of this Royal Sambo Battle Royal is not lost on me.
Yeah, I'm imagining in Okinawa. Of course, you know the person who facilitates it, and someone who will be on the Wakayama show.
Say that again?
You know who is the person who facilitates, you know, lays out everything, gets everyone prepared for this big meeting of the bosses in Okinawa. You know who is the person who does that, right?
No, I'm unfamiliar, Mike. Who is running the Okinawa kingpin of pro wrestling?
Oh, it's Gurikan Mask.
Oh, Gurikan Mask. Someone we'll talk about a little bit later on. Super J Cup alumni Gurikan Mask.
The Dawn of the Rikyu Islands Gurikan Mask. If you ever, this is only partially a bit. If you ever look at shows, if it's a company that does not normally run Okinawa and you see Gurikan Mask on the show, there's a reason why Gurikan Mask is on the show.
It would be like, I'm trying to think of a not problematic example, because the only one that I can think of pertains to Florida. So it's just like, look, sometimes independent wrestling promoters run shows in Florida and a certain talent is booked on those shows because maybe that person provided a ring. And it seems like Gurukin Mask is a much more wholesome version of that.
That is absolutely fair to say. I think that's as far as we can go into on this comment before we should move on and not get in trouble.
Yes.
So, semi-main event, RED versus Masquerade plus Satyoko Boy. I got it right this time, Case. I got it right, finally.
Yeah, no, this was a super fun match. This was very good stuff. I kind of liked Satyoko Boy in this match. Not saying I need him to become a regular member of Masquerade, but I liked his vibe here. I liked the fact that, you know, Masquerade did their extended entrance, and then Satyoko Boy came out and did his own extra long air guitar extended entrance. It was a sight to behold.
It owns. And yeah, Sachi is someone that, you know, like, he will pop up, and he's usually in those battle royals. He usually is on an undercard, and it's something that is really, you know, he's just there. But, Case, I know we're going to have to cut this short. Any big takeaways you have for Memorial Gate before I run down this card?
Well, let's real quick talk about the main event of Kobe. That's what I'll have time for. Main event was awesome. The finishing stretch between UT and Benkei fucking rocked. I jumped off my couch at it. It was so fucking electric that, again, I'm swearing talking about the main event of a Kobe Sambo Hall show, which means you know it was good. I think I would have gone 3¾ on that, not quite notebook, but still really strong. As for Memorial Gate, before I have to head out due to a personal matter, and I do apologize to the Voice Gate faithful, I think both champions retain. If you look on, and this is my very, very loose research of Japanese Dragon Gate Twitter, but it seems like it's about 60-40 that Skywalker's retaining. There's definitely some talk about Sakamoto at least scoring the upset win. It would be an upset if it happened. But I think everyone retains that puts a title on the line, and I will take Masquerade in the Wakayama Triangle Gate match, and I will take Hip Hop Kakuta defeating Benkei in match number 3.
All right, those are some spicy takes there. Yeah, one thing worth talking about Kobe before going. Kazuma has now eaten up Shun Skywalker at every opportunity on the microphone, like proving everything I've said. And it's something that I don't like being right, but Kazuma has the momentum. I can't discount this.
No, Kazuma is a ton of fun, and I think that match is going to be great. And that's, you know, for as unfortunate as it is that maybe, you know, Skywalker still has some of the issues that he has, it's led us to the Skywalker versus Sakamoto match, and we're seeing, you know, this guy that for years you and I tatted is like, hey, he's fun on a Triangle Gate team. You know, this Kazuma Sakamoto guy really isn't that bad to now. It's like, oh shit, he's in the main event of a Dragon Gate show, and he looks like he belongs, which, even though I was the first one to say, and I'll take my second victory lap here before I head out, I was the first one to say, hey, this Kazuma Sakamoto guy is going to be all right in Dragon Gate. I did not imagine that this version of all right was him headlining a pretty major show on the company's calendar.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, he's still freelance. Maybe it's something that he ends up no longer being the worldwide desperado soon. You know, the fact they put him in this main event. Kai he's been in a dead or alive cage match. Not dead or alive. He's been in a risk cage match. But he hasn't had a title shot. And you look at the two guys coming in around the same time. And Kazuma seems like that he ingratiated himself much sooner. And wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he does not work Noah as much as he used to. I know he still works on the sleaze feds. But, I mean, Dragon Gate people work those feds all the time.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I'm looking forward to Memorial Gate. Mike will have a preview of the Sakamoto versus Skywalker matchup on the website. I'll have a review of the show, but Mike can plug that at the end of the show. But for now, I bid you a farewell.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So looking at the Wakayama show, it is a pretty interesting card. Again, it is on the 27th, this Saturday morning. It is a 1500 Japanese Standard Time start that is 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 1 a.m. Central. And I think, I don't know if the, I don't know in Europe if they do daylight savings time at the same time as I do. But 1500 Japanese Standard Time, you'll be able to figure out it when it is. It looks like it will be having taped English commentary on the network. I don't know when. I forgot to mention with Case earlier, the show in Sambo Hall will stay up on the network until the 26th, so you can watch that the day before. But we have a pretty full card for Wakayama, and of course, it's an interesting kind of thing to talk about Wakayama, and I'll do a little bit of a Memorial Gate and Wakayama history lesson before we start talking about the card itself. So Memorial Gate and Wakayama started as a sold show for a local TV distributor network that was either owned by Gaora, Dragon Gate's TV network's parent company, or was affiliated with it. So everyone would go down there. Case and I, we've talked about like these Wakayama shows actually on the Dragon Gate USA series. So it had a different vibe. It would usually have one or two title matches, and they would bring in outsiders, and it just was something that they did for local TV. And about 6 months later, like when I used to get these DVDs from Japan, it would be about September, you would be able to get the DVD of the show. It would not air on Gaora, and that's the only time anyone in the West really ever got to see these things, is if someone bought the Memorial Gate DVD. Of course, it's changed since the Dragon Gate Network. Infamously, in 2018, during the OWE and Dragon Gate split, all the OWE guys reappeared for the show because it was still kind of like a sold show, and then went back to Shanghai. So it's one of those things that if you want to look at like Shima's, one of Shima's last matches in the company, it is at Memorial Gate. It is considered that kind of card. But in the greater scheme of things, I'd put Memorial Gate far below the Big Five, but I would put it on the tier with Gate of Origin, and they're kind of in their own tier. I would say that this is kind of a B big show, but we have six matches for the show, and it's a pretty stacked lineup. There will be a written preview up on Voices of Wrestling later this week, and as Case mentioned, he will have the written review up this weekend, and we'll be back in full and in depth breaking down the show as next week when Case and I get back together for the weekly update. So six matches, just going from the bottom to the top. The opener is a Natural Vibes versus Unaffiliated 8-man tag match. It's KZ, it's Asumi Yokosuka, it's Genki Horiguchi, it's UT. And before I forget, before I continue, the end of the Kobe Sambo Hall show, we didn't get to this for Case, I had to duck out. Takedo Kamei announced his return, and he'll be returning in April to Kobe Sambo Hall, and he'll be back in the ring, and his much anticipated costume change and ring name changes will be happening on that show. And that's the same show that has the Keisuke Okuda Punch Tominaga Brave Gate match that came out of the opener. So back to Memorial Gate. So it's Natural Vibes, the eight men that are currently active, versus Sachi Hoko Boy, Punch Tominaga, Hoho Loon, and representing Rikyu Dragon Pro Wrestling, the Dawn of Okinawa, it is Gurukin Mask. And, you know, this is a kind of something that if you are a newer Dragon Gate fan, this is your get as many more people onto the show as possible match. And these are usually the people you usually would have a bigger act, or you would just have however many people you have out there. Usually on bigger shows, it would be like a bunch of rookies, Kenichiro Arai versus more rookies and Super Shisa and Kness. But on this show, we have Sachi, Punch Tominaga, and Hoho Loon. You know, I think Sachi could be building himself up a little bit of a hot streak, so I'm kind of stoked to see what happens from him here. But this is a match that there will be nowhere where you could gamble on Dragon Gate Wrestling, but there's no match that you could feel as confident in your bet as it would be on betting on Natural Vibes to win that match. Match 2, 6-man tag team match. It is the unaffiliated team of Ultimo Dragon, Bukudamo Dragon, Ryo Saito versus the RED team of BB Hulk, Kaito Ishida, and Diamante. And, you know, further building up the Korakuen Apuestas match, and, you know, with how this card is set up, it makes sense that they would do this, like that Saireo has kind of been attached to Bukudamo by the hip since Team Boku formed, and Ultimo, you know, I mean, he still has that loose affiliation there. And then the RED side, I mean, these are the RED people who aren't in bigger stakes matches and with Diamante. So, I mean, that all kind of lines up to me there. You know, we saw the shot put slam in Kobe. I would not be entirely surprised if we get him doing another shot put slam here, or maybe if there is a reversal out of the shot put slam to build towards the big April Cork and Puestas match. But that's about all I expect here. Maybe some comedy here, but this is the one match that looks like it could be the noted comedy match on the show. Match three should not be comedy whatsoever. It is a big boy battle. It is big boy season in Wakayama as High End's Benkei goes against RED's Hip Hop Kakuta. Boy, I mangled that. I'm going to give that a second take, but I'm going to leave the first take in so y'all can make fun of me. Hip Hop Kakuta. And as Case mentioned, he's picking Kakuta here. And I can, he didn't give me his rationale off air, but I'm going to try to guess with how Case is his rationale behind this. And I think with Benkei, he's been such like, he sticks out since he returned in February when he returned when High End was announced. But he kind of sticks out in a way that it's not that his ring work's bad. It's just like he's just kind of like there and it's very obvious. Like you look at the rest of High End and they always, and Okuda, Yamato, and Dragon Kid all look like a very cohesive unit in a way. And I mean, we'll get into that with match four. But you have Benkei there. And then you have Kakuta. This would be a major win in his win column. It would be the biggest singles match of his career. Kind of has been a little bit on the back burner with RED since the Puestas match, of course. SB Kento got 4 out of the 5 falls there, but Hip Hop Kakuta got 1 as well. And he's kind of like, it's not that he is a lost post or is like denoted as a lost post. He's just someone that in his point of his career, he just kind of is someone that's going to kind of go back to the sidelines here. But this is probably my most anticipated match on the show. What am I saying? The Wakayama Tornado match is probably now my most anticipated match. But this is a close number two. Yeah, you have Kakuta, who really is the heir apparent to the power style that we saw from Shuji Kondo, that Shingo Takagi made his own spin on it. And he's kind of that for the next generation. With Benkei, who is brute force and speed. If you've seen a Benkei match, you've seen him be basically a 5'8", 230-pound bowling ball just colliding at things as hard as he can. And that's what I really hope to see is just some stiff fighting, some hot fighting here. And I feel like that these two guys will probably give him enough time to do so. And it's something that, you know, when this card got announced, this was the thing that kind of had my eyes bulge out because this is a huge match. And I could see why Case believes that Hip Hop Kakuta will get the win here, but I'm erring towards the side of Benkei. Maybe this is something to kind of like reestablish him. And we've seen in this company, especially with Shun Skywalker, when you have a younger wrestler go up against an older one, then usually you can build something off of it and they could build something off the loss. And I think that's something that Hip Hop Kakuta can shoulder pretty well. Match four is the famed Wakayama Tornado winning match. And this is a match that they put together for last year, but they're trying to make this kind of into Wakayama's match whenever they do these shows. They kind of made this match especially for Wakayama. It's a three-way unit fight. And the way that they decide this is each team will start off with one person there. So it's a three-way six-man tag. Masquerade is Minora, Lee and Estrella. High End is Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Keisuke Okuda. RED is Eita, Kai, and SB Kento. So one person from each team will start this match. So it would be one versus one versus one. And then after that, a new participant will be entered every 60 seconds. How does this happen or why does this happen? Because beforehand, they will be doing a lottery using the local delicacy of Wakayama, the umeboshi, which we've talked about this last year. This is a dried plum, basically an ume. It's a dried plum, and it's like and you can often get them into buns and you can get them in pastries. But what they'll do is they'll have a bunch of umeboshis and everyone will eat one And then whoever has the sweet one to start will be starting as one. And then the two other teams will do it again. And whoever has the sweet one is two. So the person who gets two sour umeboshis will be the third team in the match. So you start off one versus one versus one. And then every 60 seconds in a rotation, you will have a new participation entered. But here is the thing here. This is only a two-fall match. So before all nine people could get in the ring, a team can be eliminated. And if one person takes a fall, like let's say, for instance, Jason Lee starts the match against Yamato and SB Kento. SB Kento taps him out. Doesn't matter who else will come out there. Masquerade has lost the fall and they're out of the match. And then it goes on between High-End and RED, if that makes any sense. So they'll be keep on doing this until all nine people are in the match. And then when that happens, the match will be fought under the typical Dragon Gate rules. Until then, it's a tornado rule, so tags will not be enforced. And it's something where last year it was really kind of exciting, and they kind of made it their own in a way. And with these nine wrestlers, and it's a shame that, like, I kind of feel like the people who would thrive in this match even more so than High-End would be a Natural Vibes team of, like, KZ, Ginky, and UT, but they're in the opener, and High-End is the super face, so High-End will be in this. And it's going to be real interesting, and it's going to be something that I am eagerly anticipating. It's something that you look at how Jason Lee has been the fall post here for Masquerade. I know Case is picking Masquerade to get the win here. I just really can't see it with the rest of these teams lined up. Like Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Okuda. Unless SB Kento finally makes up for all the times that Yamato has gone with the Frankensteiner of the Almighty, I think High-End wins, just because they're not going to... Okuda has his next challenger lined up, so he's not going to be taking a fall here. Dragon Kid could take a fall, but Yamato's not taking the fall there. And then you look at RED of Eita, Kai, and SB Kento. As I just mentioned, SB Kento has been taking a lot of falls only on the Frankensteiner of the Almighty. There's your elimination there. And then you look at Masquerade, and the one protected member of that trio is La Estrella, because he hasn't taken any falls since he debuted. So I'm leaning towards High-End, but this is a match that it's exciting, and you get to see like Okuda tee off on people for possibly 6 minutes until everyone else is in there. And it's a nice like high-speed match. It reminds me back when they used to have like the special Yoshida or Nanawa tags. It's kind of like their own bent towards it and an homage back there. And it's a match I'm most looking forward to, but I think High-End will be retaining there. And then we get to the title matches. And this is where really the idea of this show as kind of a B show really shines out here, because you have the Twin Gate match is the Buddy Cop tag team, Masaki Mochizuki and Takashi Yoshida, defending against the unaffiliated team of Izushi Kanda and Kenichiro Arai. And it's just very hard for me to believe that unless there's going to be like some massive turn with Yoshida, that this Twin Gate team is going to lose in their first defense. I just think that Kanda and Arai, they aren't full-timers at this point. They're kind of on the other end of their career, whereas Mochizuki will never stop wrestling until the day he departs this mortal plane, and Takashi Yoshida is going to stick around because I feel like that man makes plans and God laughs. So it could be interesting. I have been pretty impressed with Kanda and Arai, how they've been performing as of late, so this isn't going to be something like at Champion Gate where Case and I were scratching our head is like, well, can we somehow just have like 15 minutes of Mochizuki and then we can get a great match out of this? I think that this has a match that probably has a small chance of having a high ceiling, like a very small chance for this match to get above 4.5 stars or even to be at 4.5 stars, to be quite honest. But the floor is higher than you expect. As long as Arai and Kanda just bring it, this match could be a whole lot of fun. And then there's the whole kind of weirdness with Takashi Yoshida already feigning like he's going to be turning heel or is having issues with Mochizuki and Flashpen. So that's something you can't outright discount, but I think that it is Mochizuki and Yoshida retaining in this match. And then we get to the main event. This has been one of their better built B-show matches in a while. It is the Open the Dreamgate Championship match between Shun Skywalker of Masquerade versus Kazuma Sakamoto of R.E.D. And when you look at this match, it's something where Shun Skywalker, I've pointed out since the beginning, he was going to have some issues as this champion, and especially like the idea of him being an ace, it was going to be very hard for him to fulfill that. And that put some doubt in this match, where if it was other people, I would not have any doubt whatsoever that they would be defeating Kazuma Sakamoto here. But I can't dismiss Kazuma out of hand. I think Shun retains, but Kazuma Sakamoto winning, and I think with the overall kind of Japanese wrestling landscape, especially within cyber fight companies, erring towards old and a little bit weird, it would be unprecedented, but it would not just be like a cataclysmic event if Kazuma Sakamoto won the Dreamgate. There'll be the people that don't necessarily always keep up with Dragon Gate, and they're the ones that usually have been very dismissive of Kazuma Sakamoto, but I think Kazuma Sakamoto has proved on the microphone over the last few weeks, and I feel like that his ring work has been proven over the last few years that Kazuma Sakamoto, it'd be interesting with him as champion. I don't know how he would really do in the Dragon Gate Dream Gate matches, and I think that's what makes it kind of compelling here, because Kazuma Sakamoto, like, he's been entered in King of Gate, he has had singles matches before, and they've usually been pretty good, but shouldering a load, having the strap, is something completely different. But then you look at Shun Skywalker, who is matches, I mean, you take away the fact that the final gate match ended the way it did, and he's already had 2 4.5-star-plus title defenses. This guy is performing in ring, and this guy very quietly is putting together a most outstanding case in these matches, and him and Sakamoto, with all their matchups and the outposts that they've had before this, I can't discount the idea that these two would have another banger. Like, this is could this be another 4.5-star Shun Skywalker Dreamgate match? Possibly. Is it going to be something that's going to change, I feel like, the overall trajectory of Shun Skywalker and the overall trajectory of Masquerade? Don't really think so. But this is a match that I'm really hyped for. I think this is Shun's probably last or near last defense, because we're going to be getting into Dead or Alive season pretty quickly, and then King of Gate, and then the two-night Kobe World doubleheader. And at that point, I guess that Shun Skywalker could drop the title at Dead or Alive in Aichi and Nagoya. That could happen, but I think it's something where this is just another key here for him. This is something where chance for a very good match, and it's a fitting main event for Wakayama. I mean, we'll see how many people are going to be there. We'll see like how hard they go for this. Usually they go, they don't necessarily go like Kobe World speed on these shows, but they do go hard on this. And it's a kind of match that you could only really see in a Wakayama show. So that's about it for this week's update. As Kay said before he got off, and as I've said earlier, we will have a much longer episode reviewing the show. We will have tons of written content and voices of wrestling. Case, of course, will be taking the written review. There will be a group preview of myself and some others. And then I have a column that I'm working on that will preview the Open the Dreamgate match at Wakayama this Saturday on the Dragon Gate Network. And it's going to be talking all about Kazuma Sakamoto and why people should stop be sleeping on Kazuma Sakamoto. But that'll do it this week. You could follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. You can follow me at Fujiheya. And you can follow Case at _inyourcase. But that's going to be it for this week. We'll be back with you next week with an in-depth Wakayama review. Take care, everyone.